Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, a TV show. Wait, no. A podcast about
what?
TV shows.
We're a TV show now? Holy
surprise,
shit.
Guys. We're on the air. No, we're a podcast, as you know, about TV shows and movies. We've got a very special movie for you today. The six-time Oscar winner, Kung Pao, Enter the Fist from 2002. This is one of the movies mandated by our dear patrons. They have the ability to force us to make an entire episode about whatever movie they want. And they chose Kung Pao, Enter the Fist, a movie that I had never seen. But with us today is a very special guest, a good friend of mine. You probably know his work. He goes by Cinema Joe on TikTok, just Joe to everyone else. And he's the host and owner of the House of Cinema podcast. Joe, thank you for coming.
Thanks for letting me come to your podcast.
I'm coming.
I don't think there's a better person you could have chosen for this podcast, if I'm being completely honest. Now, I'm not trying to sound arrogant or toot my own horn, but I have seen Kung Pao more than anybody else on this entire planet. I will just say that. And I'm very excited to be here.
How many times would you say you've seen Kung Pao Enter the Fist?
I mean, this movie came out, what year? 2003?
2002, I think.
Two? So I was the ripe age of 13 when I saw this. I probably watched it, you know, geez, at least 20 times in like 1 month. And now as an adult, I revisit this movie at least one or two times a year. So I've seen it upwards of like 40 times.
That's the work you have to put in. And it's like we just talked about Tenet earlier, a movie that just requires multiple rewatches to really grasp the full complexity of the plot. And I think Kung Pao is the same way.
I would say you definitely need to be paying attention to Kung Pao to really get its messaging and understand this plot.
Have to.
But yeah, you know, it's one of those movies that I watched with a group of friends. We saw it when we were 13 and it was like the greatest thing that's ever been released. And we watched it over and over and over again. And now I just watch it when I'm feeling a little blue or if I've taken a little something that makes me relax and wants to make, I laugh a lot. Then I watch this movie.
If you ever wake up one day and you find yourself going, you know, exactly. It's time to pop on exactly. Kung Pao.
I probably quote this movie every day of my life, if I'm being completely honest. At least one time of the day, I'm saying a quote from this movie. There's a quote that applies to every situation in your life. I'm just saying.
I'm trying to think of a single quote that would apply to anything.
So let's say you're playing. I play a lot of video games with my friends. And if we're playing like a battle royale, what happens, a quote that comes up very often is like, I'll say, my friend was like, I'm going to go over there. I'm like, you go over there. I'll go home. And I'll say that as a
sure.
quote.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good
that's
one.
That's a popular
like,
quote.
What's the Radio Shack line?
Tell me if you see a Radio Shack.
Yeah.
That's a good quote.
Do they have Radio Shacks in California? Do you know what a Radio Shack is?
Well, okay, we're not about the same age. Radio Shacks just don't exist, period, anymore, do they?
Correct, yeah.
They're no, just they gone. It's like Circuit City. They're just gone. They're just
yeah,
gone.
So you did know about Circuit City as
of
well.
Course, okay. Of course, of course.
I didn't know if that was just like a Midwest thing.
Oh, no, they're all over, man.
Yeah, yeah. Or when the guys are doing, they're practicing their kung fu, and they're like, one of us is wearing a push-up bra. We say that all the time. There's a lot of good applicable quotes
okay.
in this movie.
You proved me wrong. You.
There was actually literally the day I watched this movie. So I haven't seen this movie since it came out in 2002. And earlier this week, I was going to watch it. I think it was like Tuesday when I watched it. I was at work. So in my mind, I knew I was going to watch Kung Pao. I'm on Reddit. And there's just a video of some kid trying to start a fight. And he gets dunked on immediately, right? And the number one comment is, we trained him poorly as a joke. And I remember laughing and then watching Kung Pao at home, like, oh shit, that was a Kung Pao line. No way.
That is yep, weird. Yep. What are the odds?
Kung Pao is life. There's so many things you can find out of Kung Pao.
Yeah. I don't think I saw this until yesterday. And I am in my 30s now, which is not the ideal way to first watch this movie. But I have an idea of how I think this is going to go. So I want to start with Steve, your overall thoughts, then me, and then Joe, because I want to crescendo into some positivity.
Okay.
Is my plan, just from a sense that I get. Steve, what was it like watching Kung Pao?
Well, before we get into my thoughts, I feel like we should make a sandwich here of positivity, right?
Okay.
This movie, the reason why we're covering it, and I don't even know if you know this, Cinema Joe. Can I call you Cinema?
You can call me whatever you like. I no, go by Cinema, Joe, CJ, whatever you want.
Wimplow.
No, so the reason why we're covering Kung Pao Enter the Fist is because we have a tier on our Patreon where patrons can sign up for and they can mandate that we watch a movie of their choosing. And this movie was actually chosen by one of our patrons, Huckleberry Cauliflower. Now, what
it's
I've
actually
been doing...
my burner account. So it was yeah. me.
Wow, it does say signed Joe. What? The signs were there all along. So what I've been doing is I've been trying to reach out to the patrons who have suggested movies to try to figure out why they chose these movies to kind of, you know their story of what this movie means to them. And this is what Huckleberry Cauliflower wrote back. They write, hey, this is so exciting. Back in my middle school and high school days, the friend group that I was a part of would quote movies in our everyday life and during hangouts nonstop. This movie, alongside Anchorman, was the top two quoted movies, and it's so ingrained in me that I sing the Taco Bell jingle every time I see one of or laugh to myself while thinking, that's a lot of nuts. When I look at my pantry and see my Costco bag of mixed nuts. Over the years, that friend group has dissolved, but all of the references that pop up every now and then remind me of a happy time in my life. I feel that this will gain some emotional importance now that I will hear an episode on it, because over the last year or so, you all have provided me with countless laughs and happy moments, and so for that, I say thanks so much. Kung Pao aside, I just had a newborn and have been trying to figure out how to life again. But I can always count and re-listen to your Harry Potter episodes that pop out. Oh, shit. That pop out the pussy line absolutely destroyed my wife and me in the best of ways. Whoa. on one of your recent Lost episodes to bring me a smile. Even on the most sleep-deprived of days, I think that about covers it. Thank you so much, Nick. So I guess that's your actual name, Nick. Nick loves this movie.
I responded to that whole letter and said, thank you. I don't know who said that or how they could have said that during a Harry Potter episode, but I appreciate you. And they said it was you. And it was when Professor McGonagall turned from the cat into it. And I was like, oh, I can kind of see why I would say
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
But Steve, I'm dying to know, what was your experience? Because Joe, what we had to do this week was cover Kung Pao, Action USA, and Tenet. So that's the triple feature that we assigned ourselves for the pod this week. So it's been a weird week, but what was it like having Kung Pao thrown in the mix?
So as I mentioned before, I first watched Kung Pao back in 2002 when it first came out. And, you know, full, you know, preface, you know, all transparency, I'm not super ingrained into the culture of like old 1970s kung fu movies. I just don't have a lot of experience with them. I haven't seen a lot of them. So I don't have that love for the genre there. But when I watched it in 2002, I feel like a lot of the jokes went over my head. I wasn't really connecting with the source material, and I kind of hated it in 2002. Fast forward to this week, you know, I sit down and I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch this movie with an open mind. It's been a while since I've seen a parody film. Spaceballs, we covered a couple weeks ago. That is like my example of like a perfect parody film, right? Not only are you making fun, you're making fun of the movie, the source material, but you're doing it in a way that has respect and reverence for the source material. You're kind of in on the joke. You're not making fun of it. You're laughing with it. And I think Kung Pao achieves that. Now, on my review of watching it this week, I still hate this movie. There's something about it that annoys the piss out of me. Like, there are several jokes that I just find so annoying. And I really, they do this thing a lot where they'll like do a joke. It's the Monty Python, Lancelot running towards the camera from far away, and they just keep cutting back to him, and he's like never getting closer and closer. They do that style of joke in every fucking scene where they have to like play it back over and over and over again. And the first time it happened, hilarious. I think the first time it happened is when he's fighting all those guys up in a line on the hill, and they keep like whip zooming in and out of both characters. And it was funny. And I realized I think I would have so much more love and enjoyment of this movie if it was like a 5-minute short on YouTube. And then that was it. Because after like a half hour, I feel like, at least for me, it overstays its welcome and it just becomes very repetitive and obnoxious. And I kind of hate it. There is one joke in the very beginning of the movie that absolutely destroyed me. And I was laughing so hard. And it's the baby falling down the hill. Just like the sound, the Foley so they cute. Use, and it keeps cutting to it. And then the woman picks it up, so cute, and just chucks it back down the hill.
Dude, I lost it.
Lost it. And, you know, there's a couple scenes throughout the movie where, you know, little jokes will happen and I'll chuckle. But again, I think they just keep going back to those same jokes. And after a while, it's like, okay, I get it. This is, you know, it's a lot longer. This movie feels a lot longer than an hour and 20 minutes at this point. But yeah, that's my overall review. Kit, what is your thoughts on this movie?
I did not know what to expect. I had never seen this movie. I don't typically watch trailers or anything. A lot of times my first experience with a movie will be like the autoplay scene that comes up when you turn on Apple TV or something and you select the film. It'll start to play while I'm like renting it or whatever. And other than that, I've had no experience with what the movie even looks like. And it was that scene where he's fighting the people in the line and it keeps like dolly zooming really quick on each. And I was like, oh, and then it zoomed in on the nipple. And I was like, okay. And I actually had downloaded a poster to post on Twitter that I was watching it because I'm chronically online and saw him with the gopher chucks. And I looked at my wife and I was like, this is going to be fucking miserable.
Come on, you get an up close shot of the gopher spinning in the air. It's the best.
I didn't know. However, I probably laughed 4 times in the first 5 minutes, like pretty hard. And she was feeding my daughter and I looked over and I was like, this is actually kind of fucking awesome. And I haven't like goofy laughed like that it's been a few months. I can't remember the last like really funny movie I saw. And so I can't deny that objectively, if you want to use that word, I'm like, this is pretty terrible. But I laughed a lot throughout. And about halfway through, it took me an embarrassing long time to realize what I think is the case, that this was an actual kung fu movie. Mm-hmm. That he edited and cut up and just put himself in. And about halfway through the movie, I realized that's what was going on. These were like, this was a serious movie that he was just overdubbing with goofy shit. And I was like, this is kind of fucking genius. And I really enjoyed it. I really did. I do think it's funny. I looked it up. I don't know if this is true. I think this movie costs $10 million. Don't know why that would be. Except maybe that at the time, like the cow CGI and stuff and the green screen technology was really expensive. I don't know.
That's where all their budget went, was that cow.
I don't know. which that's kind of wild. But other than that, it seems like a kind of a low budget, goofy masterpiece. I mean, it was written, directed, and starred Steve Odekirk, as I think.
Legend, Steve Odekirk.
And I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. And I could just see, I have never been more sad than I was while watching this movie. Like, I've never regretted being sober as much as when I was watching this movie. I wish I had seen this really high. I really do, because it would be a masterpiece. Or at least maybe seeing it at 12 would have been the equal to that. Either way, I was stone cold sober at 35 watching it, doing the best I could to have a good time. And I really liked it. I laughed a lot. I gave it the same rating on Letterboxd that I gave to Tenet, which might anger some people, but that's just how I feel. I respect them both for the very different reasons. Yeah, I had a blast. The baby was the peak for me at the beginning when I was like fully in, like, okay, fuck it. Not all the jokes work. I don't like the cow. I don't like the one breast, you know, but a lot of the stuff is like the first enemy to speak. When I realized it was Steve just doing a silly voice,
I was your like, days are over, mister.
This is so good. I'm in. So anyway, that's my overall thoughts. I kind of had a blast. Joe, what are your thoughts on Kung Pao Enter the Fist?
Well, let me convert you both to the Church of Kung Pao for a second. A masterpiece, if you let me say. You know, the fact that it's dubbed over and like they're digitally composing people's faces over real life characters. Like, this is a real movie. I own the original movie. I think it's called like Savage Killers or like Tiger and Crane. I own it. Yeah. And a lot of it is the same, which makes it to me like an even more of a feat in terms of like that parody, which we get, like, you know, like you mentioned Spaceballs and Monty Python, like you get all these parody movies and they're just straight up parody movies. This is technically, I think, pretty impressive stuff what they're doing with the dubbing and the composing digital images on real people. I also think like every single scene in this movie is very funny. Now, I don't love the cow and I don't mind Whoa, the one boob lady, but I think the beauty in this is in all the lines, like the one-liners, that the more you watch it, it's like the throwaway lines that become even funnier than everything else. Like the things that I find myself saying in everyday speak. Like I mentioned someone in the beginning of the episode, but like I still say, like, you should be able to defeat him now. Like, I still say that in my like everyday speak. You know, Betty has so many quotable lines. There's a lot of just like throwaway things, like swinging a chain. Like, it's just like stupid things like that don't make any sense that make, I think, this movie so fun and accessible. Steve Odekirk, by the way, if you weren't aware, you know, he's the founder of O Entertainment, which was responsible for Jimmy Neutron, the TV show and the movie, which I love. Jimmy Neutron, big Jimmy Neutron guy. Were you guys part of the thumb? Kind of random Thumb Wars, Thumbtanic, Blair Witch Thumb. Do you guys remember those movies?
Oh, yeah. Thumb Wars. Yeah.
That's a millennium thing.
That's why Tonguey looks like the thumbs, because he's responsible for all of those movies. So, like, Steve Odekirk, kind of like a living legend in my eyes, who had this like weird phase in the late 90s, early 2000s of like slapstick comedy. And Kung Pao is like the gem of the creme de la creme of his work, in my opinion. So I love this movie. Like I said earlier, I watched it all the time when I was 12, 13 with my friends. We would watch it almost every night, every sleepover, and then go to school the next day, quote it with my friends. So your patron, Nick, maybe he was in my friend group, but I didn't realize it, because we were those guys. And
is this
luckily,
how we connect you guys back together? Like, they said, maybe. Friend group disbanded. Can we get you guys back together?
Well, I was going to say that one thing I will say, I'm so sorry, Nick, but my friends and I, we've been friends since middle school. We've never stopped being friends. I have had this five same best friends since middle school, and we still watch this movie and talk about it. When I had my bachelor party 2 years ago, we went to the mountains, got a cabin, took shrooms, and watched Kung Pao, and it was just one of the best days ever. So, big fan of Kung Pao. I'll be quoting it a lot in this episode. So prepare for that. Yes. Just prepare for that.
I wrote down as many as I could. Again, I desperately wished I was high, and I was not. But I still had an amazing time, especially when I realized out what they were doing. Because at first I was like, how did he hire these people to do this? And then I was like, that's an old actual movie.
It's pretty genius. That's what makes it so great. Because, you know, you watch the beginning, like they fight in this house against a baby. It's so silly and dumb. And then like he lights the house on fire with like a Zippo lighter. And it's like little things like that. It's like, oh, he's using a Zippo lighter. Or they'll remember that scene. You hear like a doorbell. It's like, well, clearly there was never a doorbell in that scene, but they'll put random like doorbells in it. It's just stuff like that. I find it so genius.
The nuts guy just holds up a cell phone at one point.
Yeah. It's just his hand that he composited in there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the movie opens with the family at dinner, which is, we later find out, the chosen one's family, right? And I wrote down a note. Are we not supposed to be able to understand? I, to this day, don't know if something went wrong, but there were no subtitles for. Okay, so that's just the way that it is.
That's just the way it is, I believe. You just got to infer what's going on there.
I was texting Steve, like, is something wrong with my copy? Because I was panicking, because that's happened to me before, where I thought it was like by design. And my buddy was like, no, dude, like your subtitles were not working.
Actually happening pretty recently with the Anatomy of the Fall. I guess the digital version you could rent. There's like problems with subtitles right now.
Oh, dang.
Thing happening.
But a man comes to the door. It's Master Pain. He's got the three triangles symbol of the evil council. He kills the dad. He kills everybody, I guess. He sees the baby. He says, the chosen one, right? Open your mouth. And then the baby, this is the moment right before the baby rolling down the hill where I was like, I think I'm in, because the baby's tiny hand reaches up from the crib and stops the knife. and he has this whole baby fight scene that kind of reminded me, Steve, of Yoda in Attack of the Clones.
Oh, we're just like spit it jumping around.
The clones, right? Yeah. I was like, as absurd as this is, I wonder if Steve is drawing the same connection, because it's pretty similar.
In the moment, no, I didn't draw that connection. But now that you say so, yeah, I totally see it.
Yeah. And he kind of looks like that creepy baby from the old commercial. I don't remember which one, but he's like dancing in the womb.
Oh, the Ally McBeal dancing baby?
Is that what it is?
There's a dancing baby in Ally McBeal that was really popular at the time that would just kind of like, you know, be on screensavers and stuff during the 90s.
Yes. It's kind of like that, level. But he gets away, and eventually Master Pain decides to just leave and set the house on fire with the Zippo. And the baby like becomes a regular baby again outside the burning building. He's like, and then just starts rolling down the hill.
I love it when they cut to the shot of the, it's clearly just a doll and someone's off camera, like maybe pushing it with a stick or something. So it's doing a weird little doll movement. That's so funny.
It's like charred hair because it was in the fire. Ashy, crawling towards the cliff.
And he's just like tumbling down this rocky hill, crying. Runs into that woman who picks it up and goes, so cute. And I was looking down at my computer to take notes, assuming that she just raises the baby now. And so out of the corner of my eye, I see her chuck this baby and look back up and it's just tumbling again. And I was like, this is fucking amazing. So then he grows into manhood. He's now walking the earth looking for Master Pain, carrying the baby booties that he, his token of his childhood, wandering in search of the killer. He lives under constant attack. And we see him just like beating the shit out of everybody who tries to attack him. He punches a clean hole through one of the dudes. And it's Master Tang.
That doesn't seem possible. How did he do that?
It's Master Tang narrating this, right?
Yes, yeah.
Because at one point he narrates his own demise.
Oh, shoot. I thought anytime you heard that voice, I thought it was supposed to be his dog. Like his dog was narrating. I don't know why I got that impression, but I thought the dog was like, oh, man, he just punched that guy's hole.
The first time you see the dog, it's like you see him with Chosen One, and then it cuts to a wide shot at the very beginning when he's first a man, and then the dog's just gone. And I'm sure that's just a silly joke, but like I never really noticed when the dog's around. By the way, is that the same breed as the dog from Anatomy of a Fall? Is that Snoop?
It looks like Snoop. It has the same coloring and everything.
What if it is Snoop?
Maybe. Historic career then.
Yeah, the two best movies ever made. People keep asking him to open his mouth.
Open your mouth.
To identify him. We don't yet know why. We're about to find out. And then we get that whip zoom shot thing, that funny. That ends up on his nipple. And the nipple got me twice because I had just seen it on the trailer before I clicked the movie. Got me twice.
The best part isn't even like the nipple shot. In my opinion, it's when it's like zooming, zooming, and it stops for a second. And it's just like them staring at each other. And they go like, like trying to like, getting scared at each other, like shuddering. But then I think the nipple shot is funny. But when it zooms in on like the random girl in the bikini who's like there ready to fight, she's like there. I like that scene a lot too.
Also, when he's killing everybody in that group and it cuts to each one of them falling and then the girl falling gently.
Oh, yeah.
That was funny. But then we see the face. We see Tonguey for the first time in this scene. He's got, and mm-hmm. I put, my note was, he's got a face on his tongue.
Yeah.
And he does. And what's the point of that? Will it later be revealed? Nothing at all. I mean, Tonguey.
Steve Odenkirk likes faces on your limbs. That's what he likes. I don't know.
That was new. It was new technology at the time. He just really liked it. This is where we get the gopher chucks.
He
could
have defeated the French UFOs without Tonguey, though.
Dog helps by identifying a gopher hole during the middle of this fight. And he reaches in, grabs two gophers, and makes gopher chucks.
I need gopher chucks.
He does. And then he rips all their eyeballs out. And the fingers are stuck. It reminded me of,
this part's great, too.
It reminded me of Beetlejuice, kind of. When she does the thing.
Yeah, but the best part is when he does his long, like, yell, and he's like, and then, like, the fucking blood sprays out of his neck.
Yeah.
That's a great part.
That's a lot of that's a blood pressure issue. He's got to look into that.
He does. Take some propanolol. And then he meets Master Tang. He goes to his dojo, and he learns about Master Pain, who's protected by the evil council. And we are introduced to one of the best characters, Wimp Lo. And you quoted it earlier, but they're like, we trained him wrong as a joke. Like, just kind of like, don't hurt him. And his voice. Oh, I will stay.
But Master, you said I was the chosen one.
Don't ignore him.
I love the establishing shot of the crane school. And there's the people practicing their kung fu. And they're like, R. Sexual preference is our own business.
Yeah, progressive movie for 2002. All right,
it's true. Yeah, Kung Pao is woke as fuck. I love it. Let's go.
So when we're introduced to Ling right around this time, her whole thing is that she quick flash. I can't even say it. She quick flashes chosen, like, because she's into him, and he. So. If you look, I'm pretty sure if you look really closely, I don't know what he actually, I think he says, I will stay when he sees her. But if you look at the actual dialogue that he's dubbed over, it says, I like, he's mouthing, I like those. Which is fucking brilliant that there's like two layers of jokes because he's saying different things so that the dubs look real, like real dubs.
I was reading in the behind the scenes that he actually had like a separate script on the day of shooting. So he would give the actors lines so their mouths would say something completely different. So they were saying completely different lines that sound that, you know, mouth vaguely similar to their actual lines that they would ADR on later, which is.
Yeah, I saw something
honestly that impressive. Said,
I like the game Yahtzee or something is what he had the actors say. but the only one that applied to what was happening that I saw was him in that moment when she showed her breasts and he says, I like those. But his dub says, I will stay. But anyway, Joe, what were you going to say?
Well, at this point, any scene you bring up, I'm going to bring up the iconic quote from that scene, because I think every scene has one quote you can pull that is either hilarious or applicable to life. In this scene with Master Tang, where he meets the chosen one, I do like when he's like, how far would you say you've traveled? Would you say 10 million? Like, that's a really good one. But also, I find myself saying to my friends a lot, I implore you to reconsider. And then Master Tang goes, okay. And then he takes him into the school. So you know, I implore you to reconsider is a very good quote.
I forgot to say this, too. Like, of course, I grew up on Monty Python and Mel Brooks. Even I would put in the Wayans Brothers movies, like Don't Be a Menace and Scary Movie. Like, I love all that goofy shit. Even what's the one with Charlie Sheen?
Hot Shots. Hot Shots.
Hot Shots. Yeah. Loved all that stuff growing up. I think it's very similar. But also, bad lip reading.
Right? Love, like, bad lip reading.
Those videos are hilarious. And that's essentially what this movie is at its core. But like 15 years before bad lip reading existed, of course. So I just wanted to throw that out there. But yeah,
oh, yeah.
So
I ate that up a lot as a kid, because there's that scene where he goes up to Wimp Lowe, goes up to a guy. He's like, hey, who's that? And he just is talking, but no words are coming out of his mouth. And he goes, yeah, I don't know. It's like a long sentence, but it's a three word answer.
Yeah.
And I get what, you know, what Steve said earlier. That is a joke they do return to often, but I fall for it every time, if I'm being honest.
I don't want to gloss over the fact that Steve's opinion is the majority. This movie has a 14 on Metacritic, and was reviewed at the time to be, I think it got an award for the most painfully unfunny comedy or something I was reading. But hey, I think it was ahead of its time. That's all
I
it
think
was.
So.
The world wasn't ready.
Incoming 5-star Letterboxd review from me. I'll just say that.
I looked for, I don't even think you've logged it on Letterboxd.
No, I was going to log it once the episode's out so I could link your guys' episode to the review. Okay. So people want to check it out. So
I was, because I was trying to get the consensus online, and like nobody I follow has seen the movie. Because I was like, I like it. So he hears about the Fist of Fury. He gets, he starts training as the Chosen One, right? And there's this scene, my favorite part about the montage, because he's doing a bunch of really cool shit, but my favorite is when he's just randomly on a Bowflex.
Yeah.
Because Bowflex was a big thing back then.
It was huge, yeah.
Now I think it would be Peloton would be the same joke. By the way, there's a scene during the montage, right before he fights Wimp Lowe, there's just a random, like, creature.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's never mentioned or brought back. It's just
never,
there.
Never. Just there.
What the fuck is that thing? It looks like one of the creatures from Flight of the Navigator or something, like when they finally get up to the UFO. Just wild.
Maybe we'll find out in the sequel.
Yeah. The sequel is coming, I'm sure.
Tongue of Fury.
He gets – and Wimp Lowe challenges him. And it's really funny because Chosen One, like, hates that guy. And he's like, all right, fine. So they do like this little jump competition, and then they start to fight. It goes very badly for Wimp Lowe. And Ling the whole time is like,
knock, knock.
Ling the whole time is like, stop. He doesn't know how to fight. You're being mean.
Face to foot style. How'd you like it?
I'm bleeding. That means I won. There's also, I think this is at the same time. Is this the same time where Master Tang challenges? No, it's when Master Pain just wants to exhibit his skill.
Yep.
So he's being escorted into like the court of this dojo. And in the background, you can see a Hooters, which is great. And his skill is just to endure pain, to be kicked in the nuts and hit with sticks, and he experiences no pain. This is also where he reveals his real name is Betty.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I just want to let that linger because that's about how it feels in the movie.
No, it's so funny. It's so funny. Well, it's even funnier when like Master Tang calls him like, I forget what he calls him on accident, like someone, a different name.
It's like Sally goes, or something.
Sally, yeah. And he's like, the name is Betty, you son of a big, the Betty. I think it's very funny. I like Betty as a name.
I like the commitment to the bit in terms of like throughout the rest of the movie, he has like a name tag that just says Betty that's digitally painted on him.
I didn't notice that until there's a point where he's like, he thinks he's killed Chosen One. And he's like laughing with his guy who keeps losing more and more toes. And then finally, eventually his whole foot. And he's like in this bar having a great time. Like, I love women. We should scam some chicks.
Let's go scam some ladies.
That's the first time I saw the Betty name tag was in that scene. And I fucking lost it because it's like kind of shittily digitally composited there. And it's like moving. Love it. But we find out his name's Betty. And then I think the next scene we cut to see the Chosen One trying to see if he has the special skill.
Yep.
And he does not, was my notes. Because this guy's, and again, this might be one of those things where Steve thought it went on a little too long, but it's the kind of thing that's like funny, no longer funny, and then funny again because they kept it going. Because the guys are just hitting him over and over and over. It's very clearly just like a mannequin. And they're like, what was the signal? Should we stop hitting him? And the other two guys won't stop. I really enjoyed it.
And then they eventually sheepishly like, let's go.
Oh, wait, that's right. He said he was going to throw us off his body. And they all just lay on him.
Okay.
It would have been funnier if he just had been dead and the movie ended. Like that would have, as a YouTube video, that would have crushed.
This episode was sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, it's 2024. What does everybody do in the new year? They make resolutions. They set goals. How about we don't do that? I mean, you can. It's obviously nice to have goals, but it's also a good exercise to focus on things that you like about yourself. You know, not making all those high pressure goals that you might fail at and just feel worse. You can set smaller goals. And I think therapy can be a good way to access things that you enjoy about your life and focusing on the positive, the gratitude. And BetterHelp is a good way to do that. If you've never given BetterHelp a try, it's therapy that's entirely online. You can do it all from your home and access a therapist by filling out a questionnaire. And if you end up not liking that therapist, you can switch. Again, along with the theme of this ad, no pressure whatsoever. They're not going to have their feelings hurt by it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
It's the month of February, so you know what time it is. It's time to thank our patrons. Every single one of you that helps keep the lights on at Streaming Things, thank you so much. But we want to give a special shout out to our super patrons, and here they are. Thank you to Stanton Valentino, Mattelstat, Bryce Coppin, Susie Callahan, Anthony Corona, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Ashley Hazen, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Will Tickler, Sven 7, Jay Scramo, Bluff Pump, aka Ashley Ray, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Big Butthorn, Conrad, Kaylee Sampson, Rabid Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Peaches, Emmy, Haley B, Joe Velez, Michelle, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Ashley Powers, Stephen the Fifth, Casey McCain, and of course Enza. And with that, let's get back to the show.
This is when Woe appears. It's just some lady with one breast. She challenges him just to see what he can do. If you can't beat me, then you definitely can't beat Master Payne. Even though he beat Master Payne as a baby. I just want to point that out. And they do the tongue fight, which would have been weird with Tonguey, I would have thought. And she tells him, you need training, but beware the meadow. It's Betty's great protector. Avoid the meadow. And he's like, oh, okay. And then I think this is after Crouching Tiger came out. I believe it was like the next year, right? 2001. Mm-hmm. Because there was all that like top of the tree, graceful fighting kung fu in that movie. Because the way she tries to exit through the tree, I think is supposed to be a riff on that. And she just gets caught in the branches and she's just like, it worked for me. I'm not ashamed. So then the next scene is where Master Tang goes to fight Pain. And he's just walking up Taco Bell product placement.
He goes to fight Betty.
That's what I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Betty. Don't dead name
it's
him.
Betty.
All right?
Don't dead name Betty. The Taco Bell product placement worked. That was hilarious.
In Churrito, Macho Burrito.
And we get the Hammer Time song. He likes to fight to these 80s hip hop songs. This time it's Hammer Time. And he beats the shit out of Master Tang. But luckily he gets away. He's too sick to fight you. Everybody pities him. And we find out very quickly that the Meadow Guardian is a cow that knows Kung Fu. My notes are, what the fuck? I vaguely remember this cow being like part of the marketing in trailers.
Yeah, oh, cow was like everywhere.
On the poster too, right? Like it was a huge part of the movie. But no, he fights the cow. He almost loses until he realizes that he needs to milk it until it's completely emaciated. That's its weakness.
That's how it works in real life too. You got to just drain the cow of its milk and that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's going to get in
there. It reminded me of that scene from Scary Movie where the guy ejaculates so much that eventually he becomes a skeleton. You remember that? Yeah.
I see the criticism of the Moon Yu scene. I see it. I hear it. I respect your criticism.
Oh, yeah. Moon Yu is the cow's name. I forgot.
Moon Yu. Yeah. I think what I appreciate about that scene.
Got that joke.
See, there's some appreciation with the name Moon Yu. I like the kind of credits of the movie where they show like the bloopers of him fighting Moon Yu, and it's like him like sliding to grab the udders, but he like consistently misses the udders. There's like some like appreciation with what they had to do to get that scene done. Yeah, but it's a little bit of a silly scene. It's definitely what they blew their whole budget on, probably in terms of like the visuals. It's a very clear Matrix riff and parody. It doesn't work all the time, but
you gotta respect it that they just went all in. They're like, all of our budget, this cow fight, like that in and of itself almost it makes the scene funnier. It's, knowing that
it's actually wild to me, like who paid for this, you know? Like they could have done the joke, the bit could have been done for $2 million max. I don't know what green screen was costing back then, but he didn't hire that many people. The footage has already been shot. He's just compositing. He's doing all the voiceovers himself, except for I think Wo is the only one that dubs her own voice. I don't know. So I'm just kind of curious where the fuck all that. I think it was a lot of it was cocaine, if I had to guess. It's just my guess. But yeah, he defeats Moon Yu with a master milking. I'll never say that again. I apologize for saying it the first time. But he meets Betty at the waterfall after he beats Moon Yu. Ling's father interrupts. You're not ready. And then tries to help him fight. They both get their ass beat by Betty.
Get their ass
One
bit.
One thing I learned.
About to get your ass bit, son.
One thing I learned about the Iron Claws is that they hurt like crap. Oh, by the way, another joke is in this scene that I'm kind of ashamed at how well it worked. But they're falling in the waterfalls. They're like, oh, it's water. It's everywhere. It's so wet. They fall down the giant waterfall. And then Ling's dad just goes, whale. And this giant fucking whale slides down after them.
Also, if you like pause it in the right spot, you see the Titanic is in the water as well, which is
really
pretty. Yeah. It's there underwater. So
that's something only many viewings on mushrooms would catch.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, when you're 13 years old, watching it every weekend, you're pausing every scene and like looking for every little detail. So there's a lot of small things like that.
Especially when Uniboob pops up, you know? Like, ooh.
Yeah. Uniboob. I didn't want to admit this earlier, but we're here now. I might as well just say it. Did 13-year-old Joe pause it when Ling flashes Chosen One? Yes. Yes, he did. It was quick, but it was
there. I thought you were going to say, whoa. And I was like,
whoa was interesting, but Ling flash was a pause scene. Most pause scenes for me.
You were like, I like those. I agree with you.
Every now and then, so one of the things I like about Betty, and I think Betty is a funny character. I just wish sometimes he would talk less, because I think when he spits out little one-liners, it's really effective. But when he's like monologuing, it can be like, okay, this is an annoying voice going on way too long. But in the fight, when at one point, I think the Chosen One rips his shirt. And he just goes, shirt ripper.
Shirt ripper.
What a you ripped my shirt.
It's he funny. Says that twice.
Yeah.
I think you can tell where Steve Odekirk really wanted like this whole 7-minute scene to work plot wise to lead. And, you know, that's part of his shtick is that he's taking this actual movie and changing the context. But he didn't know what to say. Like he needed the guy to walk to the other side of the room. But in the interim 12 seconds, he had no idea what to say. So that's he'll just so he's like at some point, fuck it. And so he'll just go and like that's sometimes works better than others. Like with Ling, it was Ling that was kind of driving me nuts. And then eventually I loved it. Which I forget that noise she makes.
That that noise? Yeah. Yeah, that noise is way too much. One of the best examples that you're talking about of like stretching out the time that they have with the clips is when Betty's like, I am a world-renowned magician. Your shirt is black now. And it just keeps coming back to the guy who
was. See, that crushed it, though.
That was a good... It's red now, and it's back to red. It's so good.
That seems like the example you're talking about where, like, I'm sure splicing this movie together in the way you need it is only... It's going to be challenging. And so, like, if you have characters in the original movie who are changing clothes, but you need those scenes... Those random throwaway lines are really funny because it's like, your shirt is black. And he turns and his shirt is black, but he's like not acknowledging it. He's like, oh, yes, it's black. So I think it were. I love those moments with Betty. I think his monologuing can get a little long sometimes, but I still find myself laughing at like his random Betty quips of like, I am a nice man with happy feelings. And it's just, or he like hiding in the, we'll get to it in a second, but when he hides in the bush, he's like, cuckoo, cuckoo.
I am also a bird.
I am just a birdie too.
That crushed. That nailed it.
I think those work all the time.
Or when he like superimposed that like moth flying into Master Tang's mouth because he starts coughing. He doesn't know how to explain that he's coughing.
Exactly.
So he's like, fuck it. I'm just going to have a moth fly in there. What are the odds of that? Betty finds the booties and keeps them as his own memento after they get away. He's escorting Ling's dad back to town. And that's when we get the tell me if you see a Radio Shack.
Radio Shack.
Classic. And then there's this, I don't know what to make of the scene where Master Tang is like he's like fondling Ling's dad.
It's like, oh, don't do that. I have a wound there. And Master Tang's like, oh, come on. It's good for both of us. You find out Ling's dad dies, and he's like, he had a wound that never closed up.
A terrible wound.
So funny.
So, Steve, I think essentially, I'm surprised you didn't like this more because what Steve Odekirk is doing to this movie, this kung fu movie, because that was a real scene of the guy like doing some kung fu magic on the wound that he turned into that. It's essentially what we do to movies with our podcast.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You guys fondle the podcast movies.
We do, essentially.
Yeah.
We cut to Ling talking about her dad, and he's been my dad my whole life. We were friends.
Yeah, that was the part we skipped over at the beginning when Master Tang is explaining like about like the prophecy when he's like, oh, yeah, right. I met somebody a long time ago and he said it would be significant. And it does like that flashback. It's like, it will be significant.
Yeah, that worked for me every time. And eventually Chosen is just like, nah, we don't need to go there. It's fine. Just hurry it up. But this scene, so she's sad about her dad dying. And then randomly, I forget what happens. He turns away. And then she goes, oh, man, I'm a little tiny horny honey. and his face. Oh. And then she just keeps flashing him and then saying, but I don't want you to think I'm a slut. And that scene goes on and on and on.
Take me, mean man.
I don't think the Mushu Fasa thing worked for the Lion King stuff.
That's probably the weakest part for me in the movie. I don't think that part works very well.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not Simba. And then he chose Simba one. But again, this is 7 years after Lion King. This is probably Lion King 2 had just come out. This was peak. This was funny, you know? Just didn't age well. But he tells him to look to the stars, which is in reference to the aliens. Some good meta humor there a little bit, but mostly it was kind of goofy. It's like the scene in Monty Python and the Holy Grail when it gets to the, like the cartoon god stuff. That doesn't work for me either. You know, they swung for the fences. But he says that defeating Betty will reveal the council. And that's the key plot part of there. In the next scene, the henchmen are telling Betty that the Chosen One is still alive. And this is where we get the, I'm a magician. And you're wearing red. He can guess the color of people's clothes. And then he goes to beat up the ventriloquists.
Oh. We are just ventriloquists.
And then he even does a ventriloquist joke where he's like, I'm the chosen one. I'm outside the walls. Your mouth tricks won't work on me.
Yeah. Your mouth tricks won't work on me. And I love it when he strings them upside down and the way they're kind of dangling, like, we are ventriloquists. I swing a little. I swing a lot more. Like,
we both swing, if you know what I mean. I lost it. If you throw in a solid dick joke when I'm not expecting it, works every time. At this point, they bring in Ling, but they lay the trap for Master Tang with the animals. And he's just singing this inane song. Joe, I'd be curious to know if you know the words, but he's just like, ostrich ladle or something. It's ridiculous.
It's like lemur go, Oscar go back, koala go, just something like that.
Like he's 3 years old. And they make birdie noises. And then they cut to Betty. I'm just a birdie too. And then they have a fight where Tang loses and it stops. It freeze frames on the iron claw entering his face. And he goes, I had two choices here. Option A, dodge it to the left and sideswipe his feet. Or option B, get stabbed in the face and die. And then it finishes the scene. I should have chose option A. So Tang goes down. The next scene, they're charging another like local dojo. And this is where we get the, you go that way. I'll go home. And she sees the chosen one. And this is where we get that long joke that's been done before. But the, I'm coming. And he never chosen gets any closer. And then they get him with the tiny net. Oh my God, Steve Odekirk, are you here? That was really good. He gets caught by a tiny net and we get an intermission. The intermission meta humor actually worked for me too. My nipples look like milk duds. Like that.
That's a good one. That's probably the most famous one out of all those quotes.
Yeah, that's the best.
I've got some yellow liquid to put in your popcorn.
Yeah, I was going to say Master Tang's got a pretty gross one too.
And it's non-dairy.
At this point, he breaks free from the net. Runs backwards. He finds Wimp Lo and Master Tang ostensibly dead. And Master Tang's final words.
Oh my God, so funny.
I'm a huge fan of NSYNC. My favorite is Harpo. I think there's a guy. I think there's one named Harpo. If not, there should be.
Their new song should go a boom, boom, chicka, chicka, boom, boom.
And then he finds Ling dying too and his dog. But then he goes back to Master Tang, who's not dead, and he's a little offended that he thought he was dead. Same goes with what? Ling's like, why did you leave? Everybody's actually alive except for Wimp.
Wimp is not.
Oh, Wimp's alive. And he runs back over and there's just like, oh.
You just hear the flies buzzing.
Yeah. And we get that iconic line of killing Don't is wrong.
Oh, no.
And bad. There should be a new word like badong.
Does badong work for people?
It works for me. Killing is badong. It what, is badong.
What about gnodab?
Not as good as badong, I think.
Yeah, badong's worse. Okay. I want to drop badong out of context in a sentence. See, just throw up my Kung Pao flag. See what happens.
See what public. Happens.
This is when he puts the pyramid caps on the dummies to train because he has to.
Oh, my God. This seems great, too. Yeah.
And it's funny because watching this up to this point, I never got the idea that like those had anything to do with Betty or his power. Mm-hmm. But I was like, sure, I'll buy it. And he can't remove the caps because if you grab them wrong, they hurt your fingers. And his hands are all bloody. And there's this scene with Ling where she puts lemon juice. Do they hurt? And she puts lemon juice on him. He's like, no. What about now? And she dumps a bunch of salt.
And she breaks a thermometer in his hand.
It's mercury.
And she's rubbing in my hair. He rubs in her hair and she starts singing to him.
And then she sets them on fire. And then now he's able to remove the caps. And he's like, that's good. Because I was starting to think you were just a sadistic psycho bitch. Betty gets a letter from the council, and this is the scene where Betty walks in and he's like, you guys want to go scam some ladies? And he's all happy.
What are you guys doing later tonight?
You want to get some pizza? So he goes to their like evil spot and he's impressed by the echo.
And now batting Mike Piazza.
Sorry, it's just the echo, you know. And the council tells him the location and whereabouts of the chosen one. But he's like, no, I got it. I got it. Thank you, though. And the chosen one is thinking about Joe saying this earlier made me laugh. But the chosen one is like pondering how best to deal with Betty. And meanwhile, Ling's like, but you can meet him now, right?
Because she's progressively getting more and more mad. She's like, but you should be able to defeat him now. And he's like ignoring her. He's like, but if I do the crane technique, then it leaves my poor precious nuts exposed.
My tiny nuts exposed.
You should be able to defeat him now.
He's just trying to plan it out to make sure things could go wrong. Uh-oh, one of the throwaway lines Steve was talking about earlier. Like, this is the epitome of that for me when it cuts to the establishing shot and it's just the kids going, we're children, we're children, we're children,
we're children, we're children. That's one. I think of that one a lot. If we're playing like video games and like we're in like a city with kids, I always like, they're children. That one comes up a lot.
And then the iconic, I can't even say it. That's a lot of nuts. Because he fucking screams it. And then it's just him holding that like.
Yeah, I love that because the guy who's delivering that line is clearly like peeking the mic because he's just yelling so loud. Like, that's a lot of nuts. You can hear it peeking.
Well, when you watch the bloopers, you can see Steve Odekirk is unable to deliver the line because they had it so loud. And everybody on set's laughing. And he's like, maybe turn that down for the next take. So they were like blaring that in real time at him, which is probably his voice. But and this is where the nuts guy like calls Betty on the cell phone. But also, I love the fact that the nuts really don't amount to anything. Like they spend all this time where he's like luring squirrels out and stuff. And all of it is so one squirrel can take the punch from Betty. And he's like, as we agreed, and sprinkles the nuts on the flattened dead squirrel.
Here's my part of the bargain.
That's right.
Your cushy flesh protected me.
So we get the big fight with Betty, shirt ripper. And of course, the iconic Black Betty song outdoes his old hip hop for his battle skills. Oh, Black Betty. Which I don't know about you guys. That's a banger. That's a bop. That's a song.
It is. Good song. Good song.
Yeah.
Dog tries to help by humping Betty's leg briefly. Do its best to assist in the fight. He misses the first triangle grab and the evil council arrives from the sky. And what is it, guys? It's aliens, but specifically the French.
French aliens, yeah.
Which we have a long history on this show of bitter rivalry with the French. So I thought Steve would get a big kick out of that.
Stinky pits and all, baby.
But anyway, they power up Betty and he gets the paralyzer move. Which makes the chosen one able to move his arms. And then he taunts him with his booties. But luckily, at the last second, Tonguey finally takes over. Open your mouth. And has like a 600-foot tongue. He wraps around the UFO and slings it to an explosion. And all the other, am I saying this wrong? But all the other aliens flee in fear of Tonguey's power. And luckily, the squirrel had helped absorb the blow. Yeah. He pulls out the caps and he starts squirting blood everywhere and bleeds. That's not what I thought would happen when he pulled the caps out, by the way. Did you guys see that coming? I mean, it's been a long time since you saw it for the first time, but.
I don't remember if I saw that coming, but I also didn't see a 600-foot tongue flying out of someone's mouth.
Yeah.
Wrapping around a triangle UFO. Also, I didn't see that one. So.
What did you think was going to happen, Chris?
I thought they were just like the source of his power. Like that would, it would like. Weaken him, you know, like something would fly out and then he would be more vulnerable and then he could feel punches or something. I didn't expect him to like straight like that was holding all of his life force in.
You didn't expect him to fall down and hurt his tummy?
No, I hurt my tummy.
Hurt my
but that's
tummy.
True. As Joe points out, that is the most realistic thing that happens in that scene. And then Ling comes running up all happy and flashes him again. and then we get wee, wee, in the next wee, episode, what's going to happen in the sequel. The French invade. I think there's a Godzilla, some kind of kaiju. The
Ling hole is punch like man. Flying around too.
Yeah.
We don't know why.
Yeah.
The guy with the hole in him wants revenge. Mm-hmm, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
Oh, Moon Yu shows up with the barn animals?
With all of his friends ready to do battle.
Yeah. I've been waiting for the sequel for 20 years.
I don't think it's coming, Joe.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I'm going to pretend like maybe one day. One day.
Everyone needs a reason to wake up in the morning.
Exactly. Yeah. This is what I wake up to.
I don't think it lost money. It just didn't do incredibly well. I'm trying to say you can still hold out hope. Some investor out there, somebody gave him $10 million to make it the first time.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if – I'm surprised there hasn't been like a Kickstarter or someone hasn't tried to crowdfund a second movie. But we're 22 years removed from this movie now. So
yeah. What's Steve Odekirk doing nowadays?
I don't know. I mean, he's alive, according to Wikipedia. So yeah, so he's probably just sitting pretty with his – money if he did well in like investing it. I mean, Jimmy Neutron was a really popular show, so it's not
Neutron's big. I think the thumb stuff probably made a lot of YouTube dollars, you know.
I don't know if O Entertainment is defunct or not. I don't believe it's defunct. Oh no, it is closed.
Oh
yeah, so it says Fate Here closed. It was founded in 1990. It was around for 34 years or so. Wow. Oh, defunct 2013. So that's when it went defunct. The last thing it did was it looks like it did some storyboarding for Cowboys and Aliens and Evan Almighty.
But two classics.
Barnyard. You've ever seen 2006 Barnyard? That is people are rabid fan bases of Barnyard.
I saw that in one of your videos, but I was not aware that fan base existed.
Neither did I, but Barnyard was the last big animated project they worked on. And other than that, though, yeah, no longer with us. But, I mean, they've had their run. So I'm sure if Odekirk's just sitting pretty at home, reminiscing about Kung Pao.
I think Blair Thumb was the peak of that studio.
Blair Thumb. Thumbtanic was my personal go-to. I like Thumbtanic a lot. That was a good one.
Were you a Thumb fan, Steve?
Not particularly. I remember watching Thumb Wars, but I never like went on and saw the rest of their oeuvre.
Oh, was that the Star Wars one?
Yep. Yeah. Thumb Wars, the Star Wars one. Yeah.
And were you a Trogdor the Burninator guy? Were you a Homestar Runner guy?
Oh, yeah. I was a huge Homestar Runner. I had Homestar Runner shirts. I had a pom-pom shirt.
Oh, wow. You had the merch.
I had the merch. I was all in on Homestar. I actually just revisited the website for my patrons. I was streaming something for them. And I was like, has anybody seen this before? And like only like three of them had seen it.
Oh, what? Made me a little bit sad. That was like such a staple of my youth was the Homestar website.
But I feel like the thumb shit was like around the exact same time. Like it was all the same kind of monoculture online stuff.
Yeah, those two audiences really bled.
Well, that's it. That's Kung Pao, Enter the Fist, the cinematic majesty. Huckleberry Cauliflower. I hope you enjoyed that. And I'm glad. I was at Sundance. Joe's a friend of mine. And I knew this about him anyway, but we ended up talking about goofy movies that we loved, and he started gushing about Kung Pao, and I was like, you know, we're watching Kung Pao for the podcast soon, as weird as that is to say out loud. And this is not the kind of movie you'd pull out of the vault for coverage typically.
Sure.
And he's I don't really get the opportunity to talk about it very often, you know. It's not like I love my patrons to death. I don't think they're like big fans of Kung Pao. So the fact that anytime I meet a fan of Kung Pao, I'm willing to just sit and gush for an hour.
And I'm really grateful that I say this every time because it's true, but that I was forced to watch this. I would have let this go by the wayside. And again, as a huge fan of slapstick comedy and bad lip reading, I think this was something I was completely unaware that was right up my alley. I had a great time with it. And I'm glad that you came on, Joe. You finally made it to the streaming things. We don't have like a cool thing like you have, like, oh, you're in the house.
That is a little tagline. Yeah. We're in the stream. What are you talking about?
Now you're just streaming things. You're crossing streams.
Now we're streaming things. Oh, there we go. Crossing streams. That's really good.
We should reuse that name. Yeah. Whenever we have someone join in remotely, they're crossing streams with us.
Cross streams.
Where can we find more of your work, Joe?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on, both of you. as a scholar of Kung Pao, it's been really nice to revisit that part of my life and use that degree I thought was meaningless, but really is means a lot to me.
Your teacher said we trained him wrong as a joke.
Exactly. Where can you find me? I'm on everything. You can personally, if you want to find me on TikTok, Instagram, you can find me there. I have my own podcast that I host with my two wonderful co-hosts, Sydney and Clara, called House of Cinema. We do public episodes every week. I don't know when this is going live, but whenever it is, we should have an episode on the great Madam Web. So if you're looking for a Madam Web breakdown on, I'm sure you are. You can check that out.
Yeah, they'll be chomping at the bit for that, dude. It's actually probably something people like to hear about, because I was talking to Steve.
I am excited to talk about it, you know?
I was talking to Steve before you got here, and I was like, you know, my review of completely tearing apart Madam Web was the best video I've made in a year, like as far as numbers. And that kind of hurts, because it's like I take a lot of effort and pride in like trying to be positive in general and not bashing artists. And when I got home from the theater, I was so like tired and angry and whatever. I just ripped it apart and posted it and just didn't think anything about it. And people are like, you should be like this more often. And I'm like, just completely shit on movies more often. You guys are haters. Haters.
People love negativity, sadly, but
they do.
Madam Web is a movie, and her web connects us all. So if
it's web in time.
It's web in time. But yeah, that's where you can find me.
I'm a fan of the House of Cinema podcast.
Thank you.
Sydney is one of the hosts there. She's also a friend of mine that I really, really respect. I think she's amazing.
She's crossed streams with us before.
She has. She's been on the show. Clara, I don't know super well, but they are very nice to me online, parasocial. And so I support the House of Cinema very much. And I know a lot of our listeners, I think a lot of you aren't familiar with their works. So I really, really recommend that you check them out. Really great
Thanks.
People. Yeah.
We'll absolutely. All be in Austin together in the next less than a couple of weeks from this recording date. So
yeah.
I don't know why there. I did that. you know, what you do
it's
in
exciting.
Texas. It is. Yeah, Steve will be there too. You get to see him in person. Steve's exactly. like me if I was cool.
Perfect. That's very wrong.
Yeah, we'll be in Austin. We'll do maybe we'll all cross streams in Austin, Texas.
We will.
Let's
as
do
they
it.
Say. When in Texas. thank you so much for joining us. I think that's all the time we have for right now. We got to go return some videotapes. So my name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And I'm Joe.
I dubbed
it. Oh, and I'm Joe. It was actually, I moved my mouth and then Chris did the voice, just that like worked, Kung Pao.
That works out kind of perfectly.
Happy streaming.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.